Welcome back to Now Showing. I'm Patty Holly. The Northwest Missouri State University Olive Deluce Art Gallery will be host to a unique exhibit throughout most of April. Assistant Professor of Art and Art History at Northwest, Martha Breckenridge, has arranged for the exhibit.
We are opening on April 4 in the evening an exhibit of African art from the collection of Dr. Ray Lake in Kansas City, Missouri. It's a fabulous collection representing over 20 countries around Africa. We have a wonderful lecturer, Dr. Maud Wallman. She's a Yale-trained African art historian who has lived in Africa for more than a decade, has traveled extensively all over Africa. She speaks several of the African languages, and she'll be coming to speak at 7 o'clock on the 4th in 244 Fine Arts in the lecture room there. Dr. Wallman brings an enormous amount of experience to Northwest because of her teaching and travel and research experience. One of our goals here is to make it clear that Africa is not a monolith. There are more than dozens and dozens of cultures represented in this show, but more than dozens and dozens and dozens of cultures represented in Africa. And we'd like to bring to the attention of our audience here at Northwest that we're talking about cultures as different as cultures can be, all on the same continent, but there's an enormous variety. Dr. Wallman will address issues of media and methods of creating works of art. We have many carved wooden objects, masks and ritual objects and that kind of thing. And she'll speak of how they're used as well as the cultures from which they come.
How did this exhibit and the lecturer, how did that come to be?
The gallery normally has exhibits by artists who are contemporary artists working somewhere, usually in the United States, that somebody here contacts, somebody on the faculty here contacts and asks to come. So last year I said, what if we would try to have something different, something from an art historical standpoint, and my faculty, who are always wonderfully supportive, agreed that we could do that. And that sort of morphed into Africa, which is a subject of a great interest of mine, but I have no training, no formal training in African art or anything else about Africa. So I asked Ray, and he said, sure, and then we started talking about who might lecture, and it has just evolved into this wonderful African Palooza lasting. There are two lectures, the 4th and the 11th. We have another lecturer, and we have the gallery opening for a month almost with the exhibit up during normal hours. So it's all very exciting, and it's all blended together, pulled together really amazingly well.
You talked earlier about there's a great variety of art in this exhibit. Can you describe some of the pieces that would show that?
Absolutely. The way Dr. Wallman has organized the exhibit is by culture, by country. So we have things from Mali, and we have things from Congo, and we have all different cultures represented. There will be statuettes, they will be wood. There are carved wooden masks of all kinds, which are very interesting. They're hung on the wall. And those would all be used in rituals. Many of the figurines would be as well, but the masks would all be used in rituals. We have such a thing as a body mask. We have a couple of cloth masks, which actually one would think were robes of some kind, but they are considered masks. There's one wonderful one which has different colors of fabric and strips of fabric attached to it. It turns out that each time a ritual is danced involving that cloth mask, more pieces of fabric are attached to it. So it's absolutely stunning piece of fabric. We have some woven silk chieftain's robes, which are just beautiful. We have about four or five pieces of ceramic ware. Those are just stunning works. Most of the works that we're showing are at least 20th century, not too much earlier than that, though there are a couple of pieces that seem to be quite a bit earlier than that.
usually when an exhibit comes to Northwest, we think of it as something designed to help the Northwest students learn and further their art education. But this is an outreach project with more than just the university students. Can you talk to me about that?
Absolutely. What we're doing here is exposing the general area. We've advertised widely, and in a minute maybe we'll talk about the MoreNet broadcast that goes to all of the great schools in Missouri. We're hoping just to bring to the attention of not only the Northwest campus, but Maryville and the area, the vast variety and beauty and absolutely intriguing qualities of the African objects that we have here. The other thing that I should mention, which is lots of fun, and it's another way of exposing people to the African cultures, is that we have food coming from Blue Nile Restaurant in Kansas City. It's an Ethiopian restaurant, so we'll have Ethiopian refreshments. And we have a wonderful young man from Nigeria on campus who is lending us recordings, so we'll have African music playing. I have several outfits from Nigeria and Kenya, which the girls working in the gallery will be wearing on different dates when they're working there, and will be garbed in African garb for the opening and reception on the 4th.
Tell me about the MoreNet broadcast.
On the 11th, a mythologist, Dr. I. Murphy Lewis, who is PhD from Pacific University, will be coming in to lecture on the folklore, the mythology, the wisdom of some certain African tribes that she works with. She's made it her life work to preserve the stories, the mythology, the wisdom of tribes that are in danger of losing their history because they don't have a written language. So she works with indigenous cultures all over the world, but she's specifically going to be here for Africa. She's worked most with the Kalahari Sand Bushmen, but she has formed an organization called Global Voice Foundation. It's a nonprofit out of California, which allows her to travel, and she's been in New Guinea and South America and largely Africa, but she works with recording and filming the chieftains, the storytellers, people who repeat these stories and enact them, the rituals, for the world's children. Her great concern is that this wisdom will be lost for the world's children, and that's exactly how she describes it. So she'll be talking on Monday night, the 11th, at 7 o'clock also in 244 in the Fine Arts Building about her experiences. She has shipped me 5 boxes of objects. There are stones and bones with pictographs and that kind of thing. She has sent me a painting which she recorded the man creating. He was telling the story and painting the story, and she recorded that, and we have it to show as well. And then on Tuesday, she will be in the Horace Mann School doing a talk for the children. It's age 3rd through 6th grade, and it's going to be broadcast through MoreNet to any school in the state of Missouri. Will have this broadcast on their television screens of Murphy speaking to the children, and she'll be using those objects as she speaks. But she specifically spends her time working with children and with the stories for children.
Why do you think it's important for people in this area, people within driving distance of the gallery, to come and see this and take advantage of the opportunities they have?
I think that there was an exhibit of African art sometime in the last 20, 25 years, many years ago, in our gallery. But other than that, there's been nothing like this at all. And it's unusual. It's unusual. Of course, the Nelson Atkins has an African exhibit, a permanent exhibit, and they recently had a traveling exhibit as well. But even that's relatively new. The Nelson hasn't even had that so long. So we realize more and more how small the world is and how important it is for us to understand other cultures. And we feel in the art department here that this is one way that we can offer that exposure to people in this area and from wherever they come, when they haven't had that opportunity before.
Martha Breckenridge is Assistant Professor of Art and Art History at Northwest Missouri State University. She says the African Art Exhibit opens Monday, April 4th at 7 p.m. with a lecture about pieces in the exhibit by Dr. Maude Wallman. A reception will follow the lecture. Then on Tuesday, Dr. Wallman will discuss the African culture during a brown bag lunch outside the gallery. Monday, April 11th, Dr. Murphy Lewis will be speaking about African folklore and mythology of African tribes and her work with Global Voice. Both presentations will be in the Fine Arts Building at Northwest Missouri State University. The Brownville Concert Series in Brownville, Nebraska is gearing up for its 21st season. KXCV KRNW News Director Kirk Wayman talked recently with Brownville spokeswoman Jan Wright. She says Brownville may be a small venue, but it has a big reputation.
The Brownville Concert Series is really quite unique, especially in this area. And we just passed our 20th year in operation. Basically, the concert series brings top performers from the New York cabaret circuit, internationally renowned jazz artists, award-winning young classical artists, and rising opera singers, and just a smattering of just the top talent, really, in the country. And we also do a lot of outreach. The classical artists do master classes for students in the area. Our opera singer goes out to visit schools. We've visited probably 50 area schools and many times over down here in southeast Nebraska. And the incredible thing is it's all done in a very small church in a very intimate atmosphere, so that you're up close and personal with the entertainers, and you almost feel like you are a part of the music or wrapped up in it, and you're kind of part of the act. The audience really gets into it. And so it's quite exceptional. It's extremely reasonably priced, and especially with gas prices, what they are. These are the same people you'd see in New York or Chicago or, London and Paris, and all you have to do is come to Brownville, Nebraska, and you get to see the most amazing talent.
And how do you land such talent? What's the process for booking the talent in Brownville, Nebraska, each and every year?
Well, you know, that is really, we've been doing this. This is our 21st season now, so we've been doing this for over 20 years. And actually, on the cabaret circuit, Brownville has just gotten a fabulous reputation. People love to play to our audiences. We actually have singers calling us and, wanting to check us out. And everyone who's been here just loves it, loves the area, loves the people, loves the audiences, and they want to come back. So we have no problem getting them back. And it's just really very exciting. In fact, I think we're probably better known in New York City and Los Angeles than we are right here in Nebraska.
How would you describe this upcoming season?
Well, we're really excited about this. And I thought our 20th season was going to be hard to top. But we've got a couple of really fantastic jazz acts coming. Annie Selleck, who's out of Nashville and New York. She's kind of Joplin-esque. Anita O'Day, Ruth Brown. I mean, just fabulous. And then we have Michael Pagan and Millie Edwards out of basically Kansas City, but he is internationally renowned as one of the top jazz pianists around. And Millie Edwards, he's got her big voice. She was with the Wild Women of Kansas City, who were here a couple of years ago. Just fabulous crowds for that, and so very, very talented people. We've got a couple of young concert artists in violin and in piano that will do master classes for our students after their performances, and a classical guitarist, one of the top classical guitarists here today, will be accompanying our tenor, who is from the New York Metropolitan Opera. I mean, he's about the We get numerous people. The lady we had last year was from the New York Metropolitan Opera. I mean, it's just incredible. You know, they play the New York Met and they come here to Brownville. It's just the most incredible thing. And then we've got some people coming back. We had Todd Murray, who was just here at Christmas, wowed everybody with about four other people. And he was here a couple of years ago, and he is back with a new show called Croon, which is reminiscent of Tony Bennett, Mel Torme, Frank Sinatra, you know, just should be absolutely wonderful big band music. And we have Karen Oberlin, who is a fabulous cabaret singer, really up close and personal, wonderful voice, and should make the most of our nice, intimate atmosphere. And also for a thrill, we're putting in a little change for us, a rock group called The Vibe that hails from Omaha, and they're going to do a history of rock and roll. So it'll be a lot of things probably everyone remembers, and plus bringing you up to date if you haven't been keeping track of the music scene. It should be a really fun, really fun. And then we also have Will and Anthony Nunziata. They're brothers. They're young cabaret singers. They are just so exciting, so full of life, so creative. They just wowed us. They were here a couple of years before and couldn't wait to come back. So we're really excited about what we've got coming up. And then, of course, as you know, our Christmas gala is always the absolute top-off of a fabulous season. And we have Eric Michael Gillette bringing in, he's an arranger, composer, and singer, and he's bringing in four other people with just fabulous backgrounds, two from Broadway. Raisa Bennett was in Phantom of the Opera, on Broadway. Jeff Cubetta played in Carmina Burana. Oliver Reed was in Chicago, you know, I mean, dancing and singing. And Valerie Lemon was doing the, most recently, the Jane Froman songbook. So our Christmas gala, of course, I expect to be absolutely out of this world.
Brownville Concert Series spokeswoman Jan Wright says this season opens April 29th and 30th with the return of jazz vocalist Annie Selleck. Ticket information and more information about the upcoming season is available on the Concert Series website, brownvilleconcertseries.com.
Can you spell derivative? Actually, at four syllables. I'm better at saying it than spelling it. The word has a variety of meaning in different contexts. When it refers to a type of arcane financial investment, it's a noun. When it's an adjective used to describe a film or story, it means borrowing and lifting older storylines. So here's Paul, a pleasant sci-fi film that is heavily derivative of dozens of sci-fi stories. It's unusual in being a comedy sci-fi film, which is usually the province of heroic derring-do. Paul, an on-the-road yarn, has two British geek boys vacationing in the United States in a travel trailer. Simon Pegg, who wrote and created Shaun of the Dead, is Graham. Nick Frost is his best friend Clive. He was also in Shaun of the Dead. They write what we used to call comic books before they were gentrified into graphic novels. And, of course, the only topic for their masterpieces is bug-eyed monsters from outer space. They go to the Comics Con in California. Now, if you aren't familiar with Comics Con, about 60,000 fans turn out, most of them in funky comic costumes, usually sci-fi oriented. After hanging out in California, Graham and Clive decide to go to the fabled Area 51 to look for some of the aliens they write about. And by golly, they run into one, Paul. He has escaped from captivity by the government in Area 51. Is on the run from government and its men in black. The agent's level of confidence is a little lower than Keystone Cops. Paul had stayed in the Area 51 headquarters after he crashed on Earth, and he thought he was a valued guest. But he discovered he was a prisoner, and the government plans to dissect him. Paul is a computer-generated version of one of the bug-eyed grays UFOologists have made the model for popular culture. Aliens come in two flavors in sci-fi movies. Benign space visitors who may be stranded here after a shipwreck, as in E.T., Starman, and Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and now Paul. The other breed of aliens comes here to conquer and exterminate the locals, as War of the Worlds and Independence Day. and the recently released Battle for Los Angeles. The movie Paul succeeds with a cast of kooky characters. Paul is a hipster, a wise guy. Remember that E.T. and a lot of other benign alien beings are sort of cute and cuddly. Remember E.T. casting his puppy eyes on the screen and saying, E.T., go home. Well, you get none of the charming dimness of sad eyes from smart-mouthed Paul. Graham and Clive have some of the charming dimnesses of the great comics. It's a pleasant comedy. Seth Logan voices Paul as a witty commentator on Earthling life. Maria Stafford is cute and funny as Tara. It has some low slapstick, but for the most part, it generates a fairly sophisticated level of comedy. It's hard to decide whether the plot is, well, derivative, in the usual meaning of stealing others' works. But there's another possibility. Maybe all the allusions add up to the subversion of the conventional sci-fi and other formula films. In a dream sequence, Graham sees a gunfight with a young Clint Eastwood, animated, of course, shooting it out in a gunfight in a Sergio Leone movie. In short, I enjoyed Paul. It has a more sophisticated form of comedy than most film comedy. It rises from slapstick to irony, a fairly rare achievement. I'll give Paul 3.5 stars out of 5.
That was KXCV KRNW movie reviewer Dr. Carol Fry. You can find information and links to the events and organizations you hear about on Now Showing on the KXCV KRNW website, kxcv.org. You can also listen to archived editions of the program by clicking on the Now Showing link on our homepage. Please join us again next Thursday for another edition of Now Showing. In the meantime, have a great weekend. For KXCV KRNW, I'm Patty Hawley.